Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. Any nominations for home ministers, board positions, and Sunday school superintendent? So any nominations for those positions also, and any agenda items and nominations for visiting minister, they all need to be in by the end of the month or December 1st. Same thing. anything else on that, Tom? Ballots or the things to fill out for the nominations are down by the mints there, so you can drop a coin in and have a mint and take a ballot, and then we'll drop them in Willie's box back there in the corner, or if you can't, just give it to a board member and we'll chuck it in there. But that's what we'll be putting them in there for now. Anything else? Tuesday, ladies' Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. Men's Bible study, we're not sure where it'll be this week, but it'll be at 7:30 somewhere. And we'll send a text out.
We can do it at the barn.
Okay, we'll do it at Steve's Wednesday, 7:30. Friday, Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. Sunday school and adult Bible study next Sunday at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11. Any other announcements?
Just me again, reminding everybody about the Christmas supper, $32 a plate. If you plan on e-transferring, please send it to the church, not to me. And just mark on your e-transfer that it is for the Christmas supper so that Janelle can make sure it goes towards that, and then she'll let me know that you've paid. Next week, I will be here. So if you want to pay next week, Jackie will be taking payment, just so you know. That's it.
And that's 32 a plate?
Correct.
Okay. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests? Flint will read the psalm today. Tom will say the prayer and bring us the message, and we'll communion following the service today, and then potluck after we sing grace.
Thank you.
The psalm reading for today is Psalm 143. Hear my prayers, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness. Answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have not been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, and for thy righteousness' sake, bring me my soul out of trouble. And for thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you in a season that we know is going to get colder. We know that winter will be here, and we know that it will be at sometimes biting, sometimes melting, and sometimes very often changing. And we ask that you would give us a heart of joy in this season, a heart of peace, a heart of expectation that even though things are cold outside, you warm our hearts through your word. Even though Some days are cloudy and dreary. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is with us so close. A new season brings different thoughts, different ideas in the season of Christmas. The incarnate Christ. The God-man who came down and his birth occurred in a manger years ago. A season where we celebrate the Lord and the Savior of the world. A season where we celebrate the peace of God. And with that peace, we also understand that on Tuesday is Remembrance Day. Freedom isn't free. Many have died to preserve what is truth, the message of the gospel, the one and only God, his one and only Son, through that one and only Spirit. Many wars have been fought for the sanctity of what is truth. And Father, we ask that we continue to have this strength, that we fight for what is right, abstain from what is wrong, stand up during persecution, stand in what is always right, and that's what is written in their word. And Father, we thank you for this congregation in Sylvan Lake. We thank you for the saints here, and we thank you for the ones who have been regenerated and conformed to the image of Christ and continuing to do so through your sanctification process. Father, we thank you for the young children, the future leaders of the church, and the future leaders, hopefully, of the country. When the righteous are in charge, we rejoice. When the righteous are not in charge, we perish. Father, we ask that you would bring up leaders, not only from this church, but from this nation, that fear God and at the same time love God because of what his Son has done for us, secured our salvation through the work of the cross. We thank you, Father, for the love of Christ that we have, the faith and grace that you've given us, the bride that is here, and the bridegroom that will come soon. And Father, we are so thankful that we are to worship you on the Sabbath, where we can look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, for all things to sustain us in life. We ask you that you would open up your word this morning, so that it would bring forth fruit as the word never misses the mark. It never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. We ask for ears to hear and eyes to see what that truth is this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's continue.
Grace that exceeds our sin and
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, be granted unto you through that indwelling Holy Spirit on this hour and day of worship. Amen. Before we go to the text today is Galatians chapter 2, 9 to 21. I just wanted to look at the psalm for a few seconds here that Flint read, the 143rd psalm, which is David's prayer. And it's a beautiful prayer. He's praying for favor in judgment, and just some of the things that he's asking. He's saying, "Hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications." He's going through a time where he's fearing his life. "And enter not into judgment with thy servant. Why? Because for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." And then he says, "My spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I meditate on all thy works. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto my soul. Unto thee, my soul thirsted after thee as a thirsty land, Selah." And he says, "Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Deliver me from my enemies. I flee unto thee and hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me or make me alive for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness. Cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant or thy slave." David was fearful of his life, and there's times in life where things aren't going exactly the way we want them to, and David's prayer here is that we've all been in this situation where the tendency is to look inward and not look up. The tendency is to look at what our situation is before us, and the tendency is not to look to the author and finisher of our faith. And David is praying that he could have a strength and a confidence that you're there every morning, you're there with me. But he's being influenced by fear, like we all have, a fear of whatever it is, the circumstances that are in front of us. But the prayer is beautiful because he's saying every morning, basically, you'll be there. He has confidence in that. And I want to look to you every morning and hear from you. I trust in you and in you only, Lord, he's saying. And it's just something that everybody in this room can probably look inward. But the devil would not want you to look upward. He would want you to look inward and blame yourself. The devil would want you to be fearful and not bold and courageous. And David's encouraging us to seek God when we are in situations where we are fearful. And it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. The text that we have before us is Galatians chapter 2, and it's quite well known, and I'll read it, and then we'll expound on it as God gives us grace to do so. That's Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 to 21, and there's Bibles in the pews if you don't have one. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace or the favor that was given unto Paul, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands or of fellowship, encouragement, saying that what they're teaching is the right thing to teach. And they gave them direction to go to the heathen or the Gentiles. They will go unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Paul already had this in him that he would remember the poor. But the problem was, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, fearing what the Jews would think of him to be sitting down with Gentiles. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas, who was his basically comrade in arms, also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate or nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. What was the problem? The problem was Peter was what word shall I use? Embarrassed to be hanging around with Gentiles when Jews were around. So I'll just read it for what it says. It says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, when the Jews came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, fearing which the Jews themselves. He separated himself. Wasn't sure he should be hanging around with Gentiles. And if the chronological Bible has their chronological order, this is after the vision that he received, where he said, we're basically in Acts chapter 10, when it talks about Jesus, he's already seen this vision. So he's without excuse. The vision where Peter was told by God, what I have cleansed are you saying is unclean? Talking about meat, but more from the spiritual side, talking about Gentiles. Every tongue, every tribe shall receive salvation. And Peter was ashamed. So what does God do? How does God fix this the situation? Peter is part of the bride of Christ. He has the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's off on a different tangent, and he's a little bit ashamed of what his comrades or his countrymen would think if he's hanging around with these Gentiles. God sends a brother in Christ to talk to him. Then this is how it went about. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away in their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all. You notice what he did. He said it before them all. The world would say in the business world today, praise in public and criticize in private. Peter didn't do this. This is exactly what, or Paul didn't do this. This is what exactly what Peter needed. And how it was told to him is exactly what hit the mark. He was told in front of everybody, this is not the way it is. Every tribe, tongue, every nation will have people saved from it. You are not to separate yourself. The bride isn't divided. The spiritual seed of Abraham is not divided. See, Apostle Paul knew the Old Testament. He understood the Proverbs. He understood that if you rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Knowing that ahead of time. When Paul saw that, he knew that that would be the case. If you rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. If you give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Paul knew that. So he was not afraid to speak to his brother. Nor should we be afraid to speak to our brethren or the brothers and sisters in Christ if we have a little bit of scripture that is important that we're teaching it incorrectly. So the problem with standing up to the traditions of men as Peter did, you fall into trying to be acceptable from his brethren or the Jews instead. You want to be liked and your principles become faded because you'd rather be liked than stand up for the truth. Then God, who loves us and gave his son for us, uses the body of Christ to restore us. So he used Paul to restore Peter. His children back to the foundation of the truth, which every tongue, every tribe, every nation will have people in it that God saves, that is chosen before the foundation of the world. So there are truths in the Bible that are very important that we stand up for and we don't debate them. They are just true. And there are a few verses I will review just so that we can look at them, because most of them are from Paul's writings. If we look at 2 Timothy and 3:16 and 4:2, these are truths of the gospel that we shouldn't really steer away from. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired by God. The scripture, the word of God, is inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that the man of God, in this case Peter, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it's in verse 2, it says of the fourth chapter, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is what Paul did to his brother. Ephesians 2. There's other verses here that are, there's not really any debating them. They're just true. 4-10, Ephesians 2, 4-10. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. By the favor of God you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew all the exceeding riches of his grace, his favor and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. That's why we can't boast. It's not something we conjure up. It's something God gives us. It's as a gift. For we get a measure of grace, a measure of faith. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created to do good unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what does the devil do? We look inward. How are your works, by the way? Have you done good works? Maybe not so much. Maybe you should be doing more good works. What does John say? Chapter 15. The difference between how the devil uses the word and how the word is actually should be used. And how we should This is the promise. The devil says you don't do enough good works, so start focusing on your works. You have not chosen me. This is the 16th verse of 15th chapter of John. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What is that saying? You will produce good fruit, because he's ordained it. He's chosen it in you. He will make it happen. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the potter and the clay. You are the clay. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, forever, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we believe that? Romans chapter 10, these are all not debatable. They're actual promises of God. This will happen. Nine and 10 of chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he's my Lord and my Savior. You're confessing that he lords over you. And shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What's the righteousness? The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that was imputed to you for believing in the work of the cross. On Resurrection Sunday. He received your sin. You received his righteousness. God looks at you and sees the work of Christ in you. Your sins were put on Christ and they died at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Colossians 2:6. As we therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Or established in the faith. Romans 1:14-17. These are all beautiful promises. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you take the Jew first and the Greek, you combine them, you get the spiritual seed of Abraham. Not all Israel is Israel, but the spiritual seed is. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why are we just? Because of the work of the cross. Why are we righteous? Because of the work of the cross. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, please God. So in order to please God, you have to have faith. In order to have the faith, you have to have grace. In order to have grace, you have to have at one point in your life had a broken, lowly, and contrite heart so that grace could enter in. That's the starting process, broken, lowly, and contrite. We are broken, lowly, and contrite every day. We die daily to ourselves, our will to his will. It will not be cast out. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the person that has faith believes that God is God, that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit is the guide who directs. The three are one. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Do we diligently seek him out of our own will? No, we diligently seek him because we are being influenced by the Holy Spirit to seek him. More so than we were being influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why we diligently seek him. It's because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it's because of the love of God constrains us to do good and to not do evil. And Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto God, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus saw his brethren, his future brethren, before he was crucified. He saw all the saints, all their faces. He didn't see their sin, though, because he paid for that. So Paul, who was a brother to Peter, had no issue with going to rebuke him. And Peter took it as conviction. He was convicted. And he changed. Because he was wrong. And we do so likewise. Do not mix up conviction with condemnation. A true believer in Christ, when they receive conviction, that's what they will receive. They will not receive condemnation. If somebody is exhorting the word to you, they are asking you to just listen to what the word says and what the word is saying. And they're trying to improve what your thoughts are on this particular matter. And the reason why they're doing that is because they think you're a little bit off. And we're all a little bit off. No, not one of us has it 100% right. We're lucky to have 30% of it right. So when we understand that it's wisdom that is to be gleaned, like the proverb of today is, we're learning from that. We're being wiser by listening to our brothers and sisters in Christ if they come to us. It's not condemnation. When we go out to the world who are not converted or not regenerated or not born again, they take it as condemnation. They take it as you're judging them. That's just the way it is. Until they can feel convicted, they will take it as judgment. It does not mean that we just ignore what they're doing. Because if you truly love them, and they're going the wrong direction because they're unbelievers, you truly want them, that soul to be saved, because you know that the direction they're going is not the direction to heaven. So you, the love thing to do is to mention to them, using the word, what no different than what Paul is basically telling Peter here. But Peter did not take it as judgment. He took it as conviction, because he had the Spirit. He didn't have to defend it. He knew he was wrong. He didn't have to justify it. He knew he was wrong. And the Christian does know that. They know wrong from right. Why the restoration? Because Peter is God's. Because Peter was purchased with a great price. Your flesh is crucified with Christ. Daily you die to yourself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is influencing you to do the behavior. And the behavior produces the power of the gospel, which is the right thing. So this altercation became a restoration. And then it says here in the 15th verse, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is justified by the works of, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. No, this is the faith of Jesus Christ. What does the faith of Jesus Christ entail? Well, the 20th verse answered that. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The flesh and the old man is crucified with Christ. I'm still alive. I still have to live a life. Until God takes me, I still have to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. How does that work? The Holy Spirit guides and directs your actions, influences you to do what's right. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, now that I'm alive, I'm living in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved him, loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son. So how does that, what does that look like? Personalize it. Look to all you, the ones that you truly love, like we love the body of Christ, we love the bride of Christ. Look to your family, your brothers and sisters that are your blood. Look to your relatives, your friends, the people that you work with, people that you're close to. Are they going to heaven? And if the answer is you don't think so, how are you influencing them? And what are you doing to influence them, to steer them in that direction? Well, number one, it's not something that you can conjure up on your own, but you can pray to God and say, God, I really like my friend to be a Christian. I'd really like this friend of mine or this brother of mine to be a Christian. You're the only one that can change them. I can't change them. I can be an example through your Holy Spirit, but I can't change them. Okay, but I know you can, because you changed me. You directed my life and you changed my life totally. Transformed me, took me out of darkness and brought me into your magnificent life, light. I know you can do that for them, and I'm asking you to do that. Can you please do that according to your will and way? You can pray for that. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not everybody believes in Jesus. Like Steve mentioned last week, there's a narrow way. You can look at your percentages, or I can look at my percentages, and we're all wrong on how many people get saved. But I can guarantee you, all the ones that God chose before the foundation of the world will be in heaven. and he will direct that to happen. And it's through this example where a loving brother Paul goes to a loving brother Peter and corrects him and changes him. And it's through this direction that we are changed and better for it. And the life now which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, nullify it, make it void. Why? Because we are all lowly, broken, and contrite who are receiving grace and faith. We all can go back to the place where we received it. We all can understand where we were fighting. A lot of us maybe were prodigals and we were in a situation where we weren't actually going to church at all. Some of us were going to church, but we were self-righteous in ourselves and not self-righteous in the imputed righteousness of Christ, where grace was preeminent, favoring the conversation. When somebody you totally disagree with, totally probably despise the person for what he's done or what she's done, you disagree with, but you're willing to actually acknowledge what they're saying, repeat it back to them and say, I understand what you're saying. I understand I've been in that place. Can I show you something what the Word of God told me in that situation? Can I share with you a few words? They might say, no, I'm not interested. I implore you if you can just help, just listen to me for a minute. Because the Word of God will not return void. It will convict or it will condemn. And we're just to implore the Word, share the Word in season and out of season. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness didn't come by the law. The righteousness of Christ, because he lived the perfect life, he fulfilled the law for us because we would never be able to. So he fulfilled it in our stead. Righteousness came by the cross. He got our sin, and we received his righteousness. It was a double imputation that God directed towards us. So we are now righteous in the sight of God. Totally righteous, saints, because of the work of the cross. And we're thankful that we have grace. We are thankful that we have faith. We are thankful that we've been justified. And we're thankful that we are sanctified and to continue to be sanctified, set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ day by day. That is his work, not ours. We are just thankful to have it so that we can walk in his kingdom, be ambassadors to his light, and at the same time, represent him in a way where he can say, come to me, blessed are the Father. In Jesus' name. Let's continue with the next hymn.